Government is big business. And the Carter family has proven it this year. The Carter clan has made more than an estimated $1 million from investments and other activities during Brother Jimmy's first year in office as the president figurehead of monopoly capitalism, the worst seat of capital expansion and fascist design in the world. Besides his profits from a new beer called Billy, Plains, Georgia businessman Bill Carter now makes $20,000 a month from public appearances. And his calendar is booked through July 1978. His service station in Plains has doubled its profits this year, yielding about $30,000 income, and his agents claim that Billy's endorsement on any product is now worth at least $100,000. There's also been a windfall of Carter publications. Gloria Carter Span, Pentecostal, Neophyte, and Ruth Carter Stapleton, the sister, Jimmy's sister, both of them sisters. One of them ignores her son, who's a nephew that we gave some assistance to in the Bay, who's in jail for 10 years and not acknowledged by any of the Carter family. Ruth Carter Stapleton is a Pentecostal alleged healer, so-called, though no documentation of any healing that she's ever done has taken place, according to Time magazines. Well, anyway, Jimmy's sisters have each written highly profitable books, with several contracts pending. Their agent estimated their income from the year to be nearly $500,000. Yet none of their money goes out to help, in one case, Carter's own sister's son and Carter's nephew. There's no bond of loyalty amongst capitalists. And when they're put out of office, then the bell will toll for them. There'll be problems with government and other elements of the capitalist rat race who will want to get back at them. But capitalists always are blinded to the future. Invariably, they cannot see the future. That's why they inevitably will bring the doom of nuclear hell upon the world. Their agents have estimated their income from the year, as I said, to be between $500,000, just the sisters, to $1 million. The kids have gotten their piece of the action as well. Son Jeff has sold 10 pictures to the annual edition of Life magazine for $10,000. And his sister-in-law, Judy, is now contributing editor to Red Book, salary undisclosed. While his worm farm has realized an unprecedented profit of $50,000 this year, cousin Hugh Carter found his niche at the White House, where his salary is a reported $51,000 and his job is supposedly cutting costs. Still the old business of capitalists taking care of capitalists in their immediate families, as long as they don't embarrass them anyway and stay in strict line of conformity and exercise no freedom, as Carter's nephew, his sister's son, did in the West Coast and ended up in prison without even as much as a letter or one telephone call from the Carters that are trying to make it rich now while they're in good favor, because their day will come. Stand by. Great problems for the world. France, in a decoy operation, Carter has pulled a slippery yield tactic and had France detonate its ally, a neutron bomb. The Soviet Union is wise to the situation and said it will take the automatic precautions necessary. They will build a bomb to defend themselves. France's allegation, their lie for making the bomb, is in order to be able to stop Soviet tanks who are superior to all capitalist tank divisions from invading into Western Europe. Of course, we all recognize the true reason behind the development of the neutron bomb, which is being protested, by the way, in every capitalist nation of the world, with the mere exception of the USA, where there's very little protest of any kind going on these days. But 10,000 strong crowd met Secretary of Defense Brown, who was involved in some awful experiments on the American public while he was in the University of California. He is a man who has no scruples on morality, and is the present Secretary of Defense of the USA, Brown. But his hotel was surrounded by protesters in Denmark against the dreaded neutron bomb. Tentatively, Carter promised not to make the bomb. The Soviet Union said he was a hypocrite and a liar because he has funded France in their operation that just experimentally tested a bomb in the Pacific Atolls. And so now the neutron bomb doomsday rush begins. Many scientists predict that this is the last straw of hope to avoid nuclear hell. USA will have the neutron bomb by benefit of France. Now other nations in the capitalist arena are stating they will make the neutron bomb. Secretary of State Vance is on a rush trip to the Soviet Union for strategic assault talks on controlling atomic bombs and their testing. But before leaving Finland to go into the Soviet Union, he gave the Soviet Union a grave warning threat from the USA, saying that U.S. would not tolerate the presence of Soviet and Cuban troops in Ethiopia. In spite of the numerous attacks on Ethiopia by the aggressive regime, the reactionary regime of Somalia, look at your map of the Horn of Africa so that you'll know these places on the world map that comrade Christians have made. You'll know the back of your hand as the forward part of your hand. You'll know the world just that well. Anyway, the Soviet Union said they expected nothing to come from the SALT talks. They were more than willing to negotiate control of proliferation of arms, atomic and hydrogen, and the cessation of all production of weapons that would destroy people from outer space. Of course, the Soviet Union now has a great advantage, and it's very strange that USA would do much threatening, because by the Secretary of State Vance's own words from USA, the Soviet Union now has killer satellite, laser beam technology, and capability to destroy any space satellite, our platform, our incoming missile. Nonetheless, the United States continues to carry its audacious, arrogant manner when talking in peace, about peace. You would think that they would come with overtures of peace. But just before entering the Soviet Union, the vanguard of Marxist liberation, the liberation of all peoples throughout the world, indeed, the Soviet Union is the avant-garde of freedom and justice. But Secretary of State Vance threatens on his way into the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union, of course, has made her position known. She is now disclaiming any allegiance to Khrushchev's former doctrine of peaceful coexistence, proving it by funding the Communist Red Brigade in Italy that successfully kidnapped Prime Minister Aldo Moro, leading renegade of capitalism, and carried out a people's execution near midnight. His body has yet not been found, nor have any of his kidnappers been arrested or located. The Red Brigade pulled off a tremendous guerrilla operation as they were able to kidnap, abduct the criminal head of capitalism in Europe, Prime Minister Moro of Italy, by shooting their way, successfully assassinating five bodyguards of the secret super police, the very vicious super secret police of Italy. And by killing five guards, they got to Prime Minister Moro, held him in ransom, that they could get money to liberate people who were under political oppression, only demanded the release of political prisoners and the drop of a political frame-up trial in Turin, Italy. Then they even softened their charges, or the demands, rather, for only the release of one political prisoner. The Prime Minister Moro, typical of all capitalists, who he had served well for five terms as the Prime Minister of Italy and leading exponent of capitalism and fascism in the world. The capitalist did not find his life worth one simple political hostage. So in his middle 50s, he has been executed by the People's Court of the Red Brigade. Republic of Yemen, as you know, look on your map, has declared that they will give sanctuary to the operators of the Red Brigade and the Japanese Red Army, who closed down today the railways of Japan to show their support for the international working class solidarity that comes on May Day, May 1st. We have been asked to participate in May Day marches in Georgetown. That's the International Communist Workers' Day on the 1st of May. We were asked to furnish, and we're able to do so to help our cooperative, the red shirts for the leading trade unions of Guyana. And that will give us some help desperately that we need. All must be careful in waste. Also must be imprinted upon your minds that you're going to have to be more safety precautious. I'm grateful to hear of the miracles, and they should be testified to three times a day in threes. But I'm telling you, the miracle of Stanley with his long hair could have been avoided by wearing a helmet. The miracles of many things, like the trees that fell on Stephen and others yesterday, could have been avoided if people will do what they're told. We are going to be demanding learning crew experience immediately for anyone that does not use safety precautions or violates safety rules. On People's Rally tomorrow night, Thursday, there must be a discussion and steering committee that meets tonight can set up some guidelines for a safety presentation for every department. Safety talk presentation, and all must follow safety rules and regulations, such as the use of goggles, care, and use of all industrial equipment, ground vehicles, how to carry logs, how to fell trees, and always wear your helmets when you're involved in tree cutting, as well as like Stanley was doing in the work of the generator that should have literally tore his head into the generator and crushed it. We're grateful for miracles. We want to prevent things from happening. And we demand that those that do not follow safety precautions will be put on learning automatically. Stand by. Anyway, the Republic of Yemen has offered sanctuary to members of the Red Brigade, as well as the East German Democratic Republic, the most advanced communist society in the world outside of the Soviet Union, modern in every way. Even Newsweek admits, and Time magazine, that socialism enhances the quality of life. In the present edition of Time magazine, it said near the top of the agenda of every socialist regime are elaborate programs for improving health care and expanding educational and housing facilities. These socialist states can boast that infant mortality has dropped dramatically, life expectancy is on the rise, and illiteracy is being conquered. In short, socialist provided social services are one promise that socialism has kept universally. When Fidel Castro forces triumphed in Cuba in 1959, according to Time magazine, Nearly one half of the population could neither read nor write. Compulsory primary education and an ambitious classroom construction program have reduced illiteracy now to a mere 2% in Cuba. Cuban infant mortality is 29 per thousand when it was over 100. And an average life expectancy is over 70 years in the free territory of communist Cuba. By contrast, just across the water, neighboring to them, an island, the Dominican Republic, that was taken over, the revolution of the people quelled by the U.S. Marines a few years ago, in the typical Monroe doctrine of grotesque fascism that dominates U.S. capitalism. There, where in Cuba you only have 2% illiteracy, in the Dominican Republic there is 39% that cannot read nor write. Infant mortality is over 108 per thousand. 5 to 6 times that of Cuba. And an average life expectancy in the Dominican Republic, just a few miles from Cuba, is only 51 years of age. This is Time Magazine's revelation of the success of communism and socialism in the world. In China, according to Time Magazine, the crash training of legions of doctors, nurses, and paramedics, and the founding of rural health centers have nearly eradicated cholera, plague, and other diseases, and flies, and rats that for centuries had periodically ravaged the population. Similar efforts are now underway in Mozambique. The Marcos-Frelimo regime has set up free health clinics in all the villages for combating such chronic problems as malnutrition, malaria, and tuberculosis. The Eastern European communist states offer free education and comprehensive health care. Sickness seldom imposes any financial burden on patients, according to Time Magazine. The physical quality of life shows that the essential human services provided by Marxist-Leninist states are far superior to those of Western so-called democracies. And I put so-called, that's the only point I added to the commentary from Time Magazine. The extensive network of social services known in the Marxist societies are a distinctive achievement and cannot be denied. That's Time Magazine's commentary. Stand by. The LA Free Press, one of Los Angeles's oldest alternate newspapers and the oldest alternate newspaper in the nation, and also the most recent acquisition of Hustler Publisher and born-again Christian Larry Flint, who is now apparently partially paralyzed from being shot 5 times in an assassination attempt brought about by certain elements of the left while he was sojourning with Jimmy Carter, figurehead president of monopoly capitalist fascist USA. While he was traveling with his sister, Jimmy Carter, he was felled in Georgia by 5 assassin's bullets. He owns the Los Angeles Free Press and the Hustler, as you know. But now he has shut down the Los Angeles Free Press, the oldest alternate newspaper in the nation, indefinitely. Managing editor Right Now reports that the decision was made by Flint Corporation executives in consultation with the tycoon's wife, Althea, because the paper was losing money hand over fist. Right Now said the executives did not want to continue the losing operation, while Flint himself, the victim, as I said, of an assassination attempt, remains in critical condition. Incidentally, the last issue of the Free Press, always a source of controversy, may be one of its most controversial. Ridenour said the issue was scheduled to run excerpts from a pirated copy of the unpublished manuscripts of Los Angeles Police Department ex-chief and Republican rightist fascist gubernatorial hopeful Ed Davis, magnum opus, hang 'em at the ghetto are at the airport, Davis. He's the one that recommends instant hangings, like the Supreme Court Chief Justice did, and was taken up by FBI Director Bates, calling for hanging as the best form of justice, lynching, immediate lynch mob rule. We thought we'd left those days in the peril when the Ku Klux Klan was marching in the early 1900s. But no, it's been revived now as a decent law, a Christian law, a quick answer to the pileup of court cases, mob rule. A Los Angeles Superior Court commissioner, however, issued an injunction barring the free press from publishing the story. Ridenour called the prior restraint a fascist tactic similar to the U.S. government's effort to block publication of the Pentagon Papers. Unfortunately, we are not in good position now to defy that order. Instead, according to Ridenour, editor of the Free Press, the last issue will contain a story on the court's order, complete with white spaces where portions of the manuscript would have been quoted that show how deeply involved in intrigue, fascism, and murder Chief Davis of Los Angeles is, who promises to be the next governor of the state of California because he's now leading by 13 points in all of the public polls and proves he's far ahead of Governor Brown in the bid to be the next governor. What a horrendous thought. What a horrible thought that Chief Davis, who believes in lynch mob rule, an open racist and fascist, will be the next governor of the state of California. Stand by. The states of Missouri and Nevada, in an anti-woman's move, have filed suits against the National Organization for Women under the Sherman Antitrust Act, accusing now of conspiring with other organizations to withhold trade from the states. Now is conducting a boycott of states that have not ratified the Equal Rights Amendment, urging individuals and organizations to withhold tourist and convention business. But never, never toy with capitalism in your attempt to get your rights, women. It does not work in the USA. Now all the leaders are involved in trust busting and can face up to 20 years in a federal penitentiary. The boycott isn't a conspiracy to restrain trade, because we're not getting any economic gains in the boycott. Sandra Porter, now Action Center staff person on the boycott, maintains a boycott is a traditional political tactic, part of grassroots organizing. Suits like these have never been a successful legal method of challenging a boycott. It's just a way of harassing now our women in their quest for equal rights. The suits against now are an indication of the effectiveness of the boycott. The American Nurses Association, for example, canceled plans to hold its convention of 15,000 members in Kansas City, Missouri, in 1981. And then that was the knell that brought about the charges against National Organization for Women Leadership. Stand by. Governor Rudy Perpich withdrew state troopers from the fields this week around his town of Lowry, Minnesota, where they had been sent to keep farmers and community residents from obstructing the building of a high-voltage power line across the farmlands. There seems to be a revival of progressiveness in farmers who are being increasingly disenfranchised, their properties taken over by massive corporations. $1 billion of farmland has been bought by fascists of West Germany and Western Europe, because, as you know, the small farmer has been pushed out of business by the rise of monopoly capitalism. They talk about competition and free enterprise system. There is no competition. So the few small farmers have become very vigilant, as they were in the days of the progressive farm movement in Minnesota and Wisconsin. Governor Perpich decided to withdraw the troopers after many of the protesters announced that they planned to stop civil disobedience actions, horseback occupation of construction sites, and disruption of surveying crews began late December. Thus, the governor glad to get them out of their vigilant reaction stance, cancel the troops. For 3 years, area residents have tried to halt the building of the 400-volt cable, whose potential hazards, they argue, have not been adequately researched. Farmers and other area residents have marched to St. Paul, the capital, to ask the governor to call a one-day hearing with state legislators so that they might present their case for a moratorium on the power line until a science court of experts can rule on the safety of the line. Governor Perpich refused to make any commitment about an audience with the legislatures, so sentiment for renewed civil disobedience may grow. After getting nowhere with the governor, argues Don Olson, an activist with Livewire, an urban support group working with the farm workers, people are going to go back to the fields. Stand by. An attempt by U.S. capitalism to bring down the Zambian government. There had been no payment for copper, which is their basic source of life. Some 48% of the Zambian, look on your African map, population lives in urban centers, and copper is the one source of basic revenue to that troubled nation. Zambia has been moving towards a socialist course. Carter and the great manipulators of monopoly capitalism are now putting some copper on the market at a very low price that has brought down the price of copper in an attempt to starve out the Zambian people. The Zambian government, the government of Zambia in Central Africa, has called for immediate return to the fields in cooperative living, make Zambia an agricultural nation in order to save it from economic collapse. There's no end to the hideousness of U.S. monopoly capitalism. Nonetheless, USA is still troubled in its economic picture. The dollar plummets, inflation increases 17% in food costs this last month. An emergency meeting of all the capitalist nations will be held in Bonn in early part of July. Bonn, West Germany, the Federal Republic of Germany, which has now declared itself an agent and an inheritor of the Third Reich. Proudly, it calls itself reenacting the Third Reich that did not die in World War II. The Third Reich is a word coined by Adolf Hitler to describe Germany. That's how prominent Nazism has become in West Germany, the capitalist puppet regime of USA monopoly interest. Stand by. Vietnamese tank troops are warring with Chinese on the border. Vietnamese, with the support of the Soviet Union, the great liberators of mankind, the avant-garde of social justice, Soviet Union has been economically assisting and militarily assisting the Republic of Vietnam from its constant threat of aggression from Kampuchea, formerly known as Cambodia, that has been manipulated by China. After the Vietnamese forces, their tank forces penetrated some 5 miles in the Chinese border, China has called that they will withdraw their aid to Kampuchea if the other superpowers will withdraw their aid in Indochina. At this stage, no one knows what the outcome will be. But the Soviet Union has stepped up a vigilant policy of defending the liberation of oppressed people throughout the world. And she has told U.S. Secretary of State Vance now, that just came over the news, that he can come to Moscow if he wishes to talk about arms control. But there is no negotiations. They will keep their forces of liberation in Ethiopia and anywhere else in the world that they're called for, as they have lost faith in Khrushchev's doctrine of detente, a peaceful coexistence of capitalist and socialist states. Undoubtedly, nuclear war hangs over our heads like a sword of Damocles. We must get our people out. Please work and produce justly. Save. Don't waste. There's too much waste. you little things like toilet paper and the central supply. I want you to crack down on people that are coming in and getting more than their usual share. By the way, I want, for safety and precaution, internal security, in view of the dangers of mercenaries, that you, even though Guyana has assured us that they've stepped up their border patrols all around, that the defense forces are all around, it'll save us from anyone coming in or anyone trying to go out to cause mischief. And remember, we need to have a house check each night. Anyone that is missing from your work crew must be reported immediately so that we can keep security at its top. No one would be foolish enough to go into the jungle area at night with a tiger being witnessed all through the neighborhood, several tigers in fact, and the snakes around that kill instantly or make open massive